the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word, the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. We're going to start reading at verse number 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Let us pray. Father, again I thank you for the precious Bible, the Word of God. And Lord, tonight again I ask you for your power and your wisdom. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this wonderful word. Thank you for helping us, Lord, as you teach us the precepts of your word. Thank you, Father, because they make life sweeter and good, Lord, when we learn to live for you and mind you and obey you. So, Father, once again tonight, this preacher needs your help. I need your power. I need your wisdom. Oh, God, use this preacher to bring forth your word to be a blessing to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, as I told you this morning, we're going to continue a message on treasures. Tonight we're preaching treasures eternal. Treasures eternal. There's outside of Cairo, Egypt, they tell me there's a little graveyard near there where there's some American missionaries that has died in Egypt, and it's where they're buried. There's a tombstone of a man there by the name of William Borden. He was born in 1887. He died in 1913. The story goes of William Borden that he graduated from Yale University in America, also became a heir of a great wealth, inherited a lot of money. He rejected the life of ease, William Borden did, and instead went to Cairo, Egypt, and even before he went, had such a burden for the Muslim people that he gave away hundreds of thousands of dollars to missions. They say of him that he would not even hardly buy anything for himself, although he was very, very rich. We find out that he himself decided to go to Cairo, Egypt himself. 4 months later, he contracted spinal meningitis and died at the age of 25. You go to that tombstone, and they tell me that on it tells a little bit about his love for the Muslim people and his concern for them that they know Christ as personal Savior. But at the very end of the epitaph on his tombstone, it simply says this: Apart from faith in Christ, there is no explanation for such a life. William Borden's grave tombstone there in Egypt is a reminder to us that he probably wasn't too well known. You probably had never heard of him before. I had not until I'd read this story. But I just want you to know that God had heard about him. He gave his whole life and everything that he had to see to it that Muslim people in Egypt come to Christ. There is another tomb in Egypt, and most of you probably have heard of it. The man buried there is King Tut. Now, I cannot pronounce his last name, and I think that's why everybody calls him King Tut. T-U-T. So anyway, that makes it simple. But anyway, he's buried there in Egypt also in a great monstrous tomb. They tell me that he's buried with actually golden chariots. He was buried with thousands of artifacts, golden artifacts. They say he was buried in a golden coffin. Also, his burial site was literally filled with tons of gold. In fact, if you remember the story of that, they even made a golden face for him. And there is such a thing as the face of him is molded in gold. Now, the reason they done that is simply because they believed that they could take everything they could put up with them. That's why he was buried. He was a very young king. I can't remember exact age, but it seems like he was like 8 or 9 years old when he became a king, and he died a very young man, very, very young. But he thought, and they thought, that if they would put all of those gold things, that he could take all of those with him where he went into the next life. A man by the name of Howard Carter discovered this chamber or this tomb in 1922. And for 3,000 years, that gold had laid there and was still there. There wasn't 1 ounce of it that King Tut took with him. And I think it's kind of amazing the difference between the two men. Here is William Borden, who put all of his money in missions and sent it on ahead, and who is now living in heaven. And King Tut, which tried to keep all of his with him, is in hell burning and left everything he ever had right here. It's interesting, isn't it? What I want to do tonight is try to stir your heart to the fact that treasures are eternal. Now think about this. Is heaven eternal? Do you think that God would give you some kind of reward, hand it out to you like we do, maybe merits to our young people in school, and they take those merits and they go out to the merit sale and they buy something with those merits, and those merits are gone? They can never buy anything else. Now, they may have purchased something. Sometimes they purchase something to eat. It doesn't take very long. It's completely gone. Sometimes they have purchased some kind of trinket, whatever it might be. But what I'm saying to you is, you've got to understand God is eternal, and that heaven is eternal. So anything that God gives us in heaven will never cease to be. You don't go to heaven and say, God sends you a reward and gives you a reward, and you say, okay, this is good, and I'll go and spend it, or I'll get rid of it, I'll use it some way, and then it's used up. No, it's forever. Because God is forever. Heaven is forever. So I want you to get an idea about rewards before we get into this study. Folks, they are rewards that will be there and go through all eternity. Because God is eternal. And the things he gives is eternal. So you're not dealing with something that you can say, oh, well, you know, it doesn't make any difference. As long as I get to heaven, you know, that's all that matters. Well, wait a minute. You better read your Bible. You better read your Bible. God is displeased, as we will look in the scriptures. God is displeased with those who did not take that which God gave them and done something with it. God expects us to take that which he has given us and to do something with it for eternal good. Amen. So remember, when he talks about rewards, and let me say this again ahead of time. We talk about rewards, and a lot of time people say, well, you're going to live for rewards, Brother Ross. Are you going to serve for rewards? No, I'm serving God, because the Bible tells me that everything I do, I should do to the glory of God. But God is the one that set up the reward system. It wasn't me. God is the one that set it up. And he's the one that tells us, as we look in Scripture, that he's going to give us rewards for certain things. He set that up. And those rewards are eternal. So don't say to yourself, well, I'm going to go to heaven. Just as long as I get to heaven, everything's going to be fine. Well, you just wait a minute. God wants you to live in such a way that he will be pleased with you and me. And the things we do, the way we handle things does matter while we're here on this earth. It matters what you do tomorrow. Yes, it does. It matters what you do with your riches tomorrow. How you handle them. Where you invest them. It matters where you go tomorrow. And how you speak tomorrow. It matters. Do we understand that? Why? Because we're talking about eternity. We're talking about forever. So what I want to do is show you, and just through some scriptures tonight, I want to just show you, and as we go to these scriptures, we're not really going to take the time to do a lot of explanation about each story that I'm going to read to you. What we're going to do is look at the principle that God rewards, and those rewards are forever. Okay? Let's go to the book of Revelation, the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. We won't spend a lot of time on each one of these. We just want you to get the principle here that's taught. 20th chapter, verse number 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Seemingly this is talking about the tribulation period. But God said they lived in such a way that the reward for them will be that they will live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Look on down in verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You see, God gives rewards, benefits, to those who love him and serve him and walk with him. And here he just simply said, they're going to reign with me for 1,000 years. What a reward. What a blessing. Let's go over to Matthew, the 25th chapter, please, of Matthew. Here, the 25th chapter of Matthew, I'm only going to read, for sake of time, verse 21. Let's read verse 20, and then we'll read down through verse 23. And so he that had received 5 talents... This is where he had given 5 talents. He had given two talents. He had given 1 talent. And in verse number 20 says, and he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I'm just simply giving you a principle. We're not going to stop and talk about the stories we're given, but I'm giving you a principle. God said he was faithful servants. What did they do? They took them 5 talents and he doubled them, and he got 10 talents, and God said, that is very, very good. And because of that, I'm going to make you a ruler over many things. You're not only little things, he was faithful in little things, I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Now what he's saying is, there is something, a reward there for doing right. That's in the scripture. It's there. For doing right, there is reward, and you've got to remember those rewards are eternal. You're not dealing with making $100 this week, maybe getting a paycheck this week. You're not dealing with that. That soon goes by out of necessity. We spend it, we go on. Next week, we get another paycheck and we spend it and go on. And the out of necessities, we buy necessities and things. But God is saying the rewards that He's going to give are going to be eternal. You're not laying up treasures down here, you're laying up treasures up in heaven. Amen? And there is a reward system. I don't understand it all. I'm not doing it. I don't feel in my heart I'm doing it for rewards, but I know the system is there. And God says for us to live in such a way that will please Him. And He said, if you handle things rightly and faithfully, He said, I'll see to it that you're ruler over many things. Now, there's somewhere in that, there's a system of reward. Now, I'm not going to take you over to Luke, the 19th chapter, because it gives basically the same kind of story. He hands out talents to his servants and does the same thing. And there, he said, because of their faithfulness, he will make them rulers over cities. It's amazing. Now, it seems to me that's probably during the tribulation period, but I don't know. All I know is, not tribulation period, excuse me, millennial reign, I said tribulation period, probably that, but I don't know that for sure, but I'm saying He says, if you live right, if you handle things correctly, I'll see to it there's rewards for you. Amen. Now folks, I want you to understand the principle without getting you to say, you know, boy, I'm going to do it for rewards. No, we do it because of the love of Christ, but rewards are involved in this. Amen? So I want you to understand that principle. You see, it does matter what you do. See, this preacher wants it for you. You may not understand that, but I want it for you. I want you to stand before God one of these days and stand having been faithful to your God. And it'd be a wonderful thing to see God hand out rewards to you. Whatever those are, and however God handles all of that, it'll be a great thing to see the people of Blessed Hope Baptist Church receive rewards. I want that for you. You know, in the Bible, the Word of God tells, and again, we're not preaching on that tonight, but there's five crowns that's given to us in the Bible, in the New Testament, that we can win or earn. Five different crowns. Why did God do that? He's given it to His people. Is it important that we strive to live in such a way that we would get those crowns? Not just for our benefit, but for His benefit. Yes, I think it'd be wonderful at the judgment there to just put Him at His feet and throw those crowns at His feet if we got any. But they're there and He's ordained them. And there's five crowns in the scripture that God teaches us that we can have. Don't you think we ought to live in such a way that we ought to try our best to get them? For the glory of God? Sure. Now, go with me in the New Testament over to Colossians, the third chapter of Colossians. Third chapter of Colossians. 17th verse, 3rd chapter, let's begin to read. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, that's a wonderful verse of scripture that tells us the reason, the motive of right living. That's why we should do this. Now, listen after that, listen very carefully. Because he mentions some things. He tells us some good works that we can do. No, not to be saved. Of course not. You don't get saved by works. But some good works, some good things that we can do that will be rewarded. Now listen to what he says. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. You know, there's rebellious wives, and they don't want to submit to their husbands. They have no intention of submitting to anybody. They're going to do their own thing. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to lose out. Because God has instructed that you submit yourself to your own husband. Has he not? Now listen as we read. And he says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Husbands, we men, it's our responsibility to love our wives and be not bitter against them. That's what God said. Now you're going to find out that these things I'm talking about earns rewards. Okay? That's something he's told us to do. Verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, folks, young people, God said for you to be obedient to your parents. Now, God said that. And it's a right and good thing for you to do, you see, because there's a benefit to it. Not just on this earth, there's an eternal benefit to it. Okay? Let's look. 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So he says, fathers, giving us some more encouragement, some more things to do. He said, now fathers, don't you provoke your children to anger. Don't do that. Amen? Why? Look at verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service nor men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. He said, if you're a servant, if you're a somebody and you're working for somebody, you're to do that not because somebody's looking over your shoulder. You do it because God wants you to do it. He wants you to live right and work right and obey those over you. God said that. Now look in verse number 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Now did you notice what he says? Whatever you do it as though you're doing it to the Lord. Okay? Now listen to what it says in the next verse. Why should we do it unto the Lord? Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. What is he saying to us? He's saying all of those things he said above there. Why should we do it? Because God's going to reward you. God's going to reward you. Get a hold of that. And it's not some $5 bill. It's not a new car or a new house. It's an eternal thing that God will give you forever and ever and ever. It'll always be with you. You see, God said you do those things. Yeah, we ought to. We preach on them. We teach them. But why should you do them? Because God said to. That'll be enough. And if you live in such a way, then God says, don't you know that you'll receive the reward of the inheritance because of it? See, it's a right thing to live godly. It's the right thing to do what the scripture says to do. There's benefits from it. Amen? Now, let's go to Luke, the book of Luke, the 6th chapter, please. There's going to be rewards given for good works. All right? Now, you know, like I said, it's not for salvation. It's just, there are going to be rewards given for good works. Not only that, in Luke, the 6th chapter, verse 22, he said, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Now rejoice you in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Did you notice what he said? If the people hate you, if you're persecuted, it's all right if you're doing it for Christ's sake. And they hate you, they despise you for Christ's sake. Why? He says your reward in heaven is great. Now, maybe you can figure it all out. I haven't got it all figured out yet. What all those rewards are and all of that stuff. But I know they're there. Because God would not have said it. Jesus would not have said it if there was not great rewards in heaven for doing that. Amen? Now, let's go over to Luke, the 14th chapter of Luke. The 14th chapter of Luke. And the 13th verse. Listen to what he said. But now remember, there's going to be rewards for accepting correctly persecution. That's what we just read. You take persecution, right? God says, great is your reward in heaven. I mean, that's what he said. Amen. Now look here. In chapter 14, verse 13. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. You see, he said, who are you going to call to the feast? Well, get the poor together. Get the maimed together, he said. Get those together that can't help you, that needs help. See, the poor, the maimed, and the lame, and the blind. And he says, for they cannot recompense thee. They cannot pay you back. Okay? For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. God says, I'll pay you back. You can just count on it. I'll pay you. So he says, is it a good thing to take care of and to be care? And when you make a feast, is it a good thing to maybe invite some poor, some lame, and some maimed? Do you understand what I'm saying? God says, you don't have to worry about it. They can't pay you back. But he said, I can. At the resurrection of the just, he said, I'll take care of it. I want you to know something. You'll never, ever, ever, He'll never let you. You'll never, ever, ever be a time when God owes you. He always overpays. That's why that little boy came in there with a few fish and a few loaves of bread, give it to Jesus, and went home with 12 baskets. No, you can say anything you want. I heard preachers say, oh, that was for the 12 disciples. Well, it's not for the little boy. Jesus never took anything from anybody except he gave them abundantly back. He said to Peter, can I use your boat? Peter said, sure. So he pushed out from the shore a little ways, and when he got it back, it was full of fish. You think Jesus is going to owe anybody? No. He don't owe anybody. Amen. What I'm just simply saying, God, he said, now you take care of the poor. You do that. And he said, at the resurrection of the just, I'll see to it that you're taken care of. You don't have to worry about it. Amen. Now you go over to the book of Matthew, the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew. And verse number 20. This is the story. I'm starting there because I don't want to start at the beginning, but it's the story of the young rich ruler. You're probably all familiar with this. And he's wanting to know how to get eternal life, and Jesus is dealing with him here. Let's read verse number 19. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Well, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and listen to this, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. Again, all I'm saying to you, what I'm telling you is, Jesus said, those who give to the poor out of a right heart, he's got treasures waiting for him in heaven. Now, I don't know all the treasures. I've told you that before. Don't know all the treasures. Don't know all they are. All I know is God said he's going to reward you if you give to the poor. Now, that's what he said. You see, he said, if you'll do that, you'll have treasures in heaven. Amen? Sure. Look over, and I'm going back over to the book of Luke, the 6th chapter. I should have had you hold that, but the Luke, the 6th chapter. So we find also that God blesses those who give to the poor. Amen? Just, God blesses it. Now, it's interesting because over in Luke, the 6th chapter, listen as we read this. I'm going to start at verse number 30. And this is so interesting at the end of this. It's just amazing. I want you to hear it. Verse 30 says, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what think have you? For sinners also love those that love them. Did you hear what he said about that? Now, if you love them which love you, well, what thank have you? I mean, what good is that? Is that a reward just because, you know, I mean, we're not saying that it isn't good to give something to somebody once in a while. That's all right, give a gift to somebody because you love them. But he said, if you're going out here and you're giving it to somebody that loves you, what good is that? Amen? Now, I'll find my place again. Verse 30. He says and in verse 31, and ye would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. Folks, the unsaved does that. It's no big deal. The unsaved does that. Now listen. And he says, and if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. Then he says, and if you lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners. Listen to what he says. And this is an interesting thing. Listen to what he says. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Did you hear what God said about God? God said he's good to the unthankful. Can we all hold up our hands? Hasn't there been times when we've been unthankful and God was good to us anyway? Wasn't there a time when we was full of evil? You say, Brother Ross, were you full? Oh yeah, I was lost. God was good to me. Save my soul. Now listen. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Folks, you know what God's saying? God's saying is, you know, there's times, and believe me, Pastor knows this, I suppose, as well as anybody in here. I see it all the time. There's time when you do things for folk and they're just unthankful. But God says that's what God does. And he said, if you'll do that, there's rewards. And what he said? There's rewards. You're not going to find people who always deserve your kind deeds. No. If that would be true of Jesus, we'd all be going to hell today. Amen. So we see that. Now, go with me over to the book of Philippians, the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians. Fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, and I want to start reading at verse 10. It says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Now listen to this. For even in Thessalonica sent once and again unto my necessities. And then listen to what he says. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. God says there's an account. Each one of us has an account. And he said, I wanted fruit to abound to your account. He understood the principle. It wasn't that he just wanted gifts. Now, it was a blessing to him. It was good for him to get those. He had necessities and he needed them. But he said, I wanted you to give them so fruit would abound towards your account. You understand that? You understand that as you give and as you do things that God would have you to do and doing the right things, that God puts things to our account? No, I wanted you to remember, I'm not asking you to do it for just for that purpose. But folks, it's right to live right. It's right to do right. You say, Brother Ross, how do we do that? Well, what you've got to do, and listen very carefully, what you've got to do is this. Get your heart right, and the other things will work out right. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, if you get your heart right, your treasures will be right. You know, there's a lot of folk who dread to leave this earth. You know why? Because it's where their treasures are. They've stored them up here. And everything they have, everything that means anything to them, is right here. So they're not looking forward to leaving this place. John Wesley wrote about the time he went and he toured a plantation here in America somewhere. I don't know where it was, but he toured this plantation. And they got on horses, and this fellow just took him for miles and miles. They rode on horses for hours, and they still didn't see all of it. So they came back by the evening, came back to the house and sat down for dinner, and the owner was anxious, and he said, well, what did you think? John Wesley looked at him, and he said, I think you're going to have a hard time leaving all this. There's going to be a lot of folk who's going to have a hard time leaving all of this because it's their treasures. You see, wherever your heart is, you see, wherever your treasures is, that's where your heart is. You see, it follows. Your heart follows the treasures, you see. Let me say, make a statement. You show me your, and I know you're not going to, you show me your checkbook. You show me your Visa statements. You show me your receipts, and I'll show you where your treasures are. You know why? Because a compass always points toward the north, and a heart always points toward its treasures. Always. Because God said to. So, amen. Let me give you just an illustration. And a lot of people do this, and certainly I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just simply saying a lot of people will buy stock in a company. Let me just give you a truth. If you buy 10 shares in a stock, whether that thing goes up and down is not going to excite you just too much. You may want it to go up, but if it doesn't go up, you're not going to get too upset. If you buy 1,000 shares, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to care where that stock goes. You're going to be looking at the paper. You're going to be reading the stock market. You're going to say, where is all my stock? Where is it going up? Is it going down? What do you think those poor people over there that work for Enron did? Lost their living. I want to tell you, I'm sure every day they looked at that thing and seen it just plummet and just didn't know what to do. I'm not making fun of them. I'm sorry for them. I didn't want them to lose all of that. I'm just simply saying they cared where that stock went. I've heard people say, well, I wish I had more of a heart for missions. I wish I had more of a heart for the things of the Lord. You know why you don't? You don't invest in it. Anything you invest in, you'll have a heart for. Amen? Listen, did you understand something? Do you know why sometimes folk really don't care much one way or another about the church? It's just there. Because they don't invest anything in it. They don't invest anything in it. And so they really don't have much interest in it. But I want to tell you something. If you invest in this church, you give your time, your money, your concern, your prayers, your care for this church, I'm going to tell you something. You'll have more interest in it because you've invested in it. You see, You care about things you invest in. Amen? See, when you lay treasures up on this earth, and I think mentioned this before, but when you lay treasures up on this earth, you spend your whole life backing away from them. I think I give this illustration. This is the treasures right here. And all of your life, if you've laid them up down on this earth, you just back up. Why? Because you're one day less life to live. And one of these days, all at once, it's gone. It's gone. You've backed away from them, and you'll never see them again. But if that is the treasures in heaven, every day you live, you approach it. You're coming closer to it. Every single day you live. Why? Because you've laid those treasures up in heaven. And every day that means less life for you here means more toward heaven you're going. You know why a lot of people look to heaven and thank God that they're ready to go, and they just look forward, have a yearning? I'm not saying they're asking to die today, but there's a yearning about going on to heaven, because that's where their treasures are. That's where Jesus is at. That's what means everything to them. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just simply saying to you folks, you better understand the treasures that you have here are absolutely going to cease, as far as you're concerned, when you do. Can't take a one of them with you. But the treasures you lay up in heaven will be eternal, forever and ever and ever, and they'll never lose their value. That's eternal treasures. It's eternal rewards that God gives to His people. So again, I'm just simply saying to you folks, the best thing to do is understand the principle of rewards, to understand the principle of treasures. Folks, lay them up in heaven. Lay them up in heaven. For they are eternal. You're not going to spend them all in one day up there, because there's only one day and they'll last forever. They'll never be done away with, because God is eternal. The things He gives is eternal. So treasures in heaven are eternal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again I thank You today for the grace of God, the goodness of God. And I know Your plan. I know there's a lot of folk don't want to talk about these things because, Lord, they have no idea whatsoever what it means to lay up treasures in heaven. They spend all of their time worrying about here and what's going on here and the treasures they lay up here. Folk, for your people who do care, I pray that they'll get even a deeper understanding that, Lord, those things that You give are eternal. They'll be forever. And it will make a difference. And however You handle it, whatever it is, I know it'll be right because it's You doing it. And I just pray that You deal with our hearts, help us to understand these truths, that we might be for You what we should be. Thank You so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.